Lent, at the heart of it, is covenant. And covenant in its simplest form, God saying to his people in every age, I will be faithful to you, even if you're not faithful to me. We looked at that story of Noah. 2 weeks ago was the sacrifice of Abraham and his son. Last week it was the place of Moses. And now we fast forward about 800 years. It's a long reading, but at the heart of it is this. Time and time and time again, God sent the prophets. And time and time and time again, the people rebelled. And their rebellion eventually led them to a place of repentance. And then eventually it led them to a place of renewal. That is the cycle, friends, of faith. Rebellion leads to repentance, leads to renewal, restoration. And isn't that so true in our story as well? Like we're aware of the voice of God in our hearts, and yet we just rebel. And then it leads us to a place of repentance, and then we're restored back to life in Christ. The invitation here is, the Lord comes to that point. The point is, it's like time and time and time I sent my prophets, time and time and time you rejected them. And as a result, because of your continuous hard-heartedness, the consequences this time, the people Israel, the Chaldeans attack the city of Jerusalem, they knock down the walls, they destroy the temple, and they depart, the leading people, to Babylon, and they're held captive for 70 years. 70 years wondering if they will ever be free, ever be able to return to Jerusalem, to the place of the temple. And the temple was the dwelling place. That was the presence of God. So for us, their story is our story. Their song is our song. And we too want to be so attentive to the covenant. I will be faithful to you even when you're unfaithful to me. And Jesus is the new temple, and his covenant is eternal. Let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. That was Psalm 76. And it talks about sitting by the water in Babylon. And they're all referring to that sense. If I forget you, it's Jerusalem. And for us as a Christian people, Jerusalem, it's that place of the heavenly Jerusalem, but it's also the temple. Jesus is the temple. Now, as we look to St. Paul, remember St. Paul planted many. It was so instrumental in the life of that early church. But St. Paul doesn't use the language of be a disciple, be a follower of Jesus, be a learner. Paul uses that expression of being in Christ or with Christ or through Christ. For Paul, it's like through the waters of baptism, the life of Christ, the life of the Holy Spirit is poured in us. And so it's no longer I who live, but Christ who wants to live his life in us. In Christ and with Christ and through Christ. I must decrease, Christ must increase. So this particular piece, Paul is addressing that question of salvation. And he says it in its simplest form, in a nutshell, it's simply, by grace you've been saved through faith for works. By grace. That's God's free initiative. Jesus says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. By grace, saved through faith. Faith is about trust. For works, for witness, for evidence, for just growing, this indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But it's not so much just for me. It's that we give witness, and it's by our works. Somehow, might the life of the Holy Spirit, the life of Christ, be in us and with us and through us. This weekend, throughout the Diocese of Madison, the names of the 30 pastorates are being brought to the people. Received a phone call from Bishop Hine, or a voice message. Our pastorate's name is St. John Henry Newman. What was that? And I was so stunned, surprised, initially disappointed. I was so aware of St. Philomena. And life gives us surprises, doesn't it? So as I talked with Bishop a little bit more Friday night, he has great appreciation, admiration, and in one sense, great devotion to Philomena, great of this area. He certainly wants to applaud her and lift her up. But as he spoke more about it, as he walked with the other pastorates as well, it was just more clear on his heart that he wanted more contemporary saint names, more of our age and contemporary age that we might look to. And John Henry Newman is a tremendous, tremendous inspiration in terms of his preaching and his writing and his role within the church of recently. So we will continue to encourage devotion through Saint Philomena, but we will embrace and learn from Saint John Henry Newman. I found myself reading through several of his sermons over the weekend, trying to get familiar to who is this guy. I learned about him in seminary, that's for sure. But so 1801 he was born. 1890 he dies. In England, he was an Anglican priest, this tremendous intellect. And then in midpoint of his story, he's awakened, and we'll learn more about his whole teachings, but he's awakened to the fullness of Christ and the church, and he's received into the Catholic Church. Eventually, he is a priest. He is held in great suspicion by many of the bishops in the Catholic Church, and he's held with great controversy amidst his people there in England. But his teaching continues to bear great fruit. And so of recently, Pope Benedict XVI declared him blessed in 2010, and Pope Francis canonized him in 2019. So we'll learn a little more about his great teaching, and that's where we're at. The gospel, just to stay with the opening line, I want you to think about what might be your greatest fear. What wakes you up at night? What has your heart troubled and anxious? And just for a moment, just remember of that. Because this opening line, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, okay, so that is the image. When Moses was leading the people from slavery to freedom, when he instituted the Passover night, when they passed through the Red Sea, then they came through this wilderness, and there on the ground was the manna. Every morning the Lord provided daily bread for them to eat. But in the midst of their journey, they kept wanting to go back to what was before. And then there were these serpents that bit them. They were poisonous. And the Lord God instructed Moses, just take a serpent. And perhaps you've seen this on ambulances or in the hospital or in the medical. It's that staff, and then there's this wrapped around it. And the invitation was that they were to look upon that which once bit them. Now, this was a bronze serpent. It didn't have the venom, but it would bring healing. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that is the invitation for all of us, to peer into the crucifix, to be attentive to the cross and its saving and its healing touch. Because when we look at the crucifix, we see great rejection, helplessness, hopelessness, betrayal. We see humiliation. We see one who was rejected by the institution. We see one who was abandoned, who even cries out, my God, have you abandoned me? So you want to, must the Son of Man be lifted up? So that whatever that anxiety, whatever that fear, whatever that worry, whatever that has us so preoccupied and feeling so alone and abandoned, everyone who looks upon him will be saved, like will be healed, like he rearranges our worries. And it's the invitation to trust. From that disposition comes that invitation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might be saved. Once again, we gather for the Eucharist. We've been claimed by Christ. And when we come to the altar, and when we renew our covenant, then we don't want to forget you. Don't let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. May the indwelling of the Holy Spirit continue to increase in our own hearts.